as a presentation in a nutshell, I'm going to invite Ed. I'll start here and then we'll proceed.
Chair, thank you. I'll be brief. Look, my simple question is, how did we get here? Is it simply that we're collecting X amount of money from the fuel levy fund? And just a query in that regard. I saw in your organogram, CEO, that you referred to grants and investment revenue. In this slide that you gave us, how you get the money, how you spend the money. Yeah. You referred to you get 3.5 billion rand per month from the fuel levies, but you also have a grants and investment revenue here. You didn't touch on that, which I'm sure you. I like answering back and forth, but I don't think the chair will allow it today. just notice, yeah. we will get there. So the question simply is: are you telling us that South Africans are just having far too many accidents and simply outstripping the ability to raise the money to look after them? Is that really the problem? And if that is the problem, this will never be sustainable, ever, in 100, 200 years' time, if we're still here, if our planet is still here. Will it ever be sustainable? So surely the answer somewhere along the line is to say, look, we've got to limit the benefits. You have to literally, like the old saying, say you have to cut your suit according to your cloth. So that's just my question. I think that's the central question around the entire fund. It will never work. And please excuse my ignorance, my first time in this portfolio committee, in this select committee. What will RABS make any difference to that in terms of limiting the liability that the state has to road accident? And I know it's harsh, it's a harsh world, it really is, to tell somebody you only got so many limits, but I mean, frankly, there's only so much in the pot. So where do we go? Thanks.
Let me. Okay. Yo, Honourable Chairperson. My first question is, why is this APP a draft? It says final draft. Why it is not a full audited APP? Secondly, Chair, I was making comparison on the finances with the presentation that the general manager is giving to us and the actual document. They're not the same. So now I don't know which is which. I've got in front of me the document that was given to us, this document, right? And then there's also this presentation. In terms of the finances, Chair, whether you're talking about the balance sheet, the cash flow statement, the income statement, balance sheet, and the cash flow, all not the same. And, you know, usually when we deal with the APPs, you will have the years that are before the financial year that we're dealing with, and they would be written audited, because means that those baselines have been audited, but this one it does not reflect, as such. I'm really concerned that we're dealing with a draft, and we don't know when we're going to have the full APP that is audited and signed off. The next question, set of question I'm having. In fact, I was using the actual document before I got the presentation. I was looking at the foreword of the minister, the issue of the 1.4 billion worth of fraudulent claims that were identified. It says that there were 10 people that were arrested. If we could get an update as to what is the status of the arrest now, have these 10 people appeared in court, have they been found guilty, are they in jail, and all that. The second point, or I don't know what the fourth, is the issue of the backlogs in terms of the claims, and also what is the turnaround time to process the claims. It says that it's going to take time for us perhaps to get on the bill itself to get a briefing, because the deputy minister was saying that it is still with the I think it's one of the bills that are going to be revived, because it was passed, it went through portfolio committee. The DM was the chairperson at the time of the committee, so in the report it said because of the quorum in the House, in the NA, could not be adopted. Because I'm interested to know the current challenges of REF, and also how, as the Honourable Tim is indicating, how then RAPS is going to address those challenges, the current challenges. There are also other programs like the Youth Driver Development Program. I think the acting CEO says that it's about now 5,000. Both actually. The driver one, the driver development, it says 350, and then you say then the care. You know, because we are the NCOP, we are always insisting on the entities and department that we should also be given a provincial spread. If, for example, the 5,000 caregivers, you must give us a provincial spread. Where are they in the provinces, how many in each of the provinces, as well as the Youth Driver Development Program, this 350, if we could have a breakdown. With regard to the vacant position, I'm concerned that the two critical positions are vacant, the CEO and the CFO. And if we could also be, you can indicate how long has these two positions have been vacant, and also what is the effect with regard to the administration and the finances of the entity, if you have, and also when are they going to be filled in? The other challenge I was finding when I was going through the APP, I was struggling to find the actual programs of the entity. Usually you'll have, say, program one, which is administration, where you also get human resources, finance, and all that. And then you also have program two. And with those, then you also know for program one, for example, how much is budgeted for program one, how much is budgeted for, and how it is spent, you know, that kind of an information. But also you would have under such HR, for example, I see that you do have percentages in terms of vacancy rate, but your ratio with regard to disability is very low. But also there's, you're not saying anything about the percentage of women representation at the senior management level. So those are the issues that I just wanted to raise. But just the last one also, I did indicate the audit outcome baseline of 2017-2018. I know the target now, you say the target is unqualified, but what is the baseline of 2017-2018 or 2018-2019, the audit outcome? Thank you, sir.
Honourable Notable.
Thank you very much, Honorable High. Just took all my questions, but I'll try my very best. I just want to check with you because you never mentioned anything about the strategic plan that you have put in place to make sure that community service centers are all over municipalities. And then the second one is on page 11 regarding the permanent employment. I just want to check how many are women and how many are living with disabilities that you have employed so far. And then the last one is on the caregivers. I don't remember the page, but you have mentioned something about the caregivers. 5,000 caregivers. I just want to check whether you employ them temporarily or permanent, or whether it's also aligned with the minimum wage, or how much do you pay caregivers. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Tule. Honorable Dango.
Honorable Chair, Honorable Khai has taken many of my questions. However, I have some that he left out. I think the one thing I want to just comment upon is that if we're using language such as business for a service, I think is that the correct position? Because we're actually providing a service to the public. We're not in a business to make a profit. So I think it brings about a different kind of attitude when you're dealing with that kind of situation. Having said that, to go back to the first question is this an entity that is a living and a going entity at this particular point in time, given the income, the revenue, and the expenditure? How do we actually look at correcting that? Should we be providing, and this is a question, I'm new here, so I understand that. The question is that, should we be providing services instead of giving the benefits to the people who actually are the beneficiaries, those that were involved in accidents? Should we be looking at that kind of thing of caregivers and paying for other kinds of things instead of the funding going directly back to the beneficiaries? Having said that, I think that in the past there was an insurance kind of basis. We now get all the revenue from the fuel levy. And the fuel levy in the interior provinces is higher than the fuel levy in the coastal provinces, if I'm correct. And can we quantify that? Thank you.
Thank you. Did the whip raise his head? Thank you, thank you. Honorable Anson. Honorable Shaw.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Good morning once again. The questions with regard to the presentation have been asked, so I would like to speak to the proposed RABS bill that is being tabled to the NA and then coming through to us. My colleague spoke about road fatalities, and we are ranked 38th in the world with regard to road fatalities. So I find it highly inappropriate to contemplate the introduction on this new bill of a no-fault system. It cannot be allowed. There is just no way that a person that has caused an accident can walk away without being kept liable for the accident that was caused. It would appear, because it could be seen as a human rights violation, because the rights of the victim is now being taken away. And that is going to, could create more litigation against RABS in this incident. What also bothers me is the fact that payment ceases after 15 years whether you have been rehabilitated, whether you are not allowed to go back to work because of the seriousness of the injuries. All these type of things are going to cause huge litigation against RABS. If you have an attorney or an advocate out there that know their game, it is going to be a bad situation for us. The fact that you want to introduce a system where you cap a monthly salary, inverted commas, of 3,500 Rand also doesn't bode well. Because whether you have lost a leg or injured a leg, you're going to be capped at 3,500 Rand. The fact that minors only qualify for compensation when they reach the age of 18. Who pays the medical bills, etc., etc., when an accident has been caused and a minor is injured and a parent doesn't have a medical aid scheme? There are many, many things that just don't add up. And then researching and having a look at the Department of Transport, they acknowledged that a 75% increase to the fuel levy will only be a starting point. There are many more taxes to come with little offerings in return. This is something that will have to be discussed. Currently, you sit with a 215 billion liability, and our finance minister said that the fuel levy increase is not enough to match this liability. So how are we going to match it? Because we haven't actually spoken to anything with regard to that, and it is a very controversial bill that will be introduced or is wanting to be introduced, and we are going to see many objections being lodged against it, and I would like to know how you're going to address all these issues that have been spoken to in the media and on every other platform that's available. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Bischoff. Honourable Lansman.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to go back to my colleague in the beginning when he started. No. From which one? Which one? Can I put me? Honorable Tim. I wanted to pronounce the correct one that suits him.
Yes.
So I like when he started, it's a fact. The money is just, it cannot reach the population demands and the needs. Yes, we agree there is some spaces and instances of corruption and all those small things and negligence. The issue of also the issue of deciding who to pay and not to pay, it's a long thing because of it's also a court battle. It can take years. Some things are not even resolved. For an example, my father was a claimant of the six landsman. He got paid after 21 years. He fought in court 19 years. So these things happen where you don't know who is right and who is wrong until a court decides this one was at stake or this one was at stake. But in essence, the fact that my colleague was stating that you get about 3.5 billion monthly, but your debt is abnormal high. Do you have a plan of covering or fundraising or coming up with methods of bettering the system? Because I don't foresee us addressing the problem here and there. The amount of liabilities are too high and people are making accidents. I was in China 2 weeks back, 3 weeks back. When I was there, a person from my branch in Danville community northwest died in Kimberley with his sister on the road. his surname was Morris. He passed away with his sister, and it was tough to bury them. I had to come back, they delayed the burial, and then when we arrived, we buried them a week back. So, I agree that we can't cover everything, but we need to come up with a system to say where it's needed the most, what criteria is used, what is determined to say this is the most needed, this is the most, what is the best methods you are using as the agency. But anyway, we are here to support you. We are here to help you where you need our help. We are also shocked on the budget constraints that you are having. It's abnormal. And accidents are daily. Every day there's an accident. And the money will never be enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Lansman.
As we indicated, the NCOP is mainly focusing on provincial issues. It might be important for us to get breakdowns. From each province in terms of the fuel levy, how much are you collecting? In terms of head claims that are submitted, how many from provinces are you receiving on a monthly basis and settlement? I know it could be a moment, but it is sometimes these figures, when you round them up, they can be scary. But obviously from where we come from, it is important if you're able to relate the challenges and the work that you are doing in terms of provincial breakdown, you see, so that but then also able to get an expression in terms of these claims. Is there any way of managing, especially the attachment from the sheriff, from the sheriff, because look, these are members of the legal practice council. You see, is their way of managing the attachment using their associations or their councils? And lastly, probably the, like as the chair indicated, the DM is the former chair of the committee. Maybe just to give us a sense in terms of practical solutions from the new bill that is geared, I believe, towards mitigating the challenges that we are facing, because the sense that one gets from your documents is that this fund has been insolvent since 1981. Since 1981, it has been insolvent, and if that is the case, obviously, I think the legislative framework is one way of trying to address the challenges, because it seems to be insurmountable. So therefore, if the net deficit continues to grow, more than 200 billion on a yearly basis, it is a mammoth challenge. Then let me give over to the team to respond. Yeah.
Thank you, Chairperson. With the road accident benefit scheme bill, I would be very afraid to venture into the bill, because a week or two ago I was answering some court papers with respect to how we engage with the bill in the National Assembly. So I would have loved to talk to you about what were the issues that we infused in the bill. But I don't know, having to engage with the state law advisors on already other people having engaged to say mustn't even go to the National Assembly, what will the impact be in that regard?
I think it's fine. I think we understand, and let's give over to the chief to respond to other issues that we raise. It will also be important probably to get written responses where we can't get them. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I will answer some of the questions, and then the acting CFO, and then the Chief Strategy Officer, and maybe the Chair of the Board will answer some of the questions. The first question was, how did we get here? Does it mean the rate of accidents in South Africa is high? I think partly the answer has come from the Honourable Member there to say we are 38th in the world. But I think also we are a victim of our own success. Remember these awareness programs that we go out and sensitize people about our services. Almost every weekend there is a province that is out there, either in the form of rough on the road or just small activations. I don't know whether we should stop or not, but that's one of the problems. But because you are focused on provinces here, I think Limpopo, the rate of accidents in Limpopo is scary, actually, to be honest. When I look at that team that deals with those accidents, as we speak now, there's another mass accident that killed about 9 people. And there was another one not long ago, about 20-something people. Yes. So, Limpopo, and we never, when we started this, the setting up these customer service centers, we never envisaged that Limpopo would be so busy. And you deal with cross-border, with people from foreign countries, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, Botswana. It's just too hectic. Limpopo, that province worries me specifically. So I just wanted to say that. Is it sustainable? We acknowledge that it is not sustainable. Remember, we are just one of the many entities within the transport family. You've got entities that are responsible for enforcement. We've got RTMC that looks at prevention. We've got a small element that looks at prevention on our side. But our core mandate is compensation. So there are other entities that look at enforcement, because law enforcement is also critical, and prevention is critical. And as the acting CFO said, once a claim has happened, an accident has happened, there's no way we can turn people away. And it's true that as long as the accident rates in South Africa increase, this deficit will keep on increasing. So that's the reality that we are faced with. RAPS, I'm not going to comment on that. I think the DM has commented already. The 10 people arrested, we normally work very closely with law enforcement agencies. And from the time the arrest is done, then we hand over to them. We can check the status, and maybe the CSO, the Chief Strategy Officer, because that portfolio reports to her, she'll be able to give an update. But we depend now on the progress on the law enforcement side. We don't do prosecution on our side. The turnaround times in terms of the claims, I think we've got that. I think Matiti will be able to talk to that as a 2018-2019, but it's less than the 1,000 days, if I'm not... Sorry. Yeah, but we will give you the detail on that. Disability rate in terms of our employment figures, we acknowledge that it's low, especially the nature of our business is such that we should be leading by example. And the board has been emphasizing that as well. So we are really trying very hard to ensure that we bring on board people with disabilities. Unqualified audit. Last year as well, we had an unqualified audit. We would have loved to have a clean audit. I think two years ago or so, we had a clean audit. But the last 2 years, we've had an unqualified audit. Community service centers all over municipalities. Every time when we go on these outreach programs, because we partner with municipalities as well, municipalities ask us to have representation in each and every municipality. But we can't. We don't have the resources. We just don't have the resources currently. Even the 97 hospitals we have a footprint in, we would have loved to be in more hospitals. We would have loved to have more people in one hospital, per hospital, especially in the bigger hospitals. But we don't have the resources. I mean, there has been a moratorium on recruitment within government generally. And, I think as a country there is a crisis in terms of additional resources for adding bodies to the entity. And we are also careful about spending more. We look good now because 92% of our budget goes towards claims payment as compared to the overheads, including the people that we employ. So yes, we are aware that it would have been nice to be in more municipalities and in more hospitals as well, but it's not doable at this stage due to our financial constraints.
Is your presence in those hospitals and municipalities more visible? Is it well known?
Yeah, it is well known.
Okay.
It is well known. We partner with the Department of Health, but we also partner with the CEOs of hospitals. So it is well known. And it's also to try and ensure that we get to the claimant before the touts, because touts are all over, even in hospitals. Yeah, no, that's why we started the partnership with the hospitals. Yeah. Okay, employees, how many are women? And how many have disabilities? We can send that breakdown, Chairperson. We've got it. We normally report on it on a regular basis to the Remuneration Committee of the Board and to the Board. How much do we pay to caregivers? So a claimant will have caregivers based on the level of injuries, yeah? and the type of support that they need. You'll find that based on your injuries, you'll have one caregiver, but if you need 24-hour support, maybe you'll have two caregivers. It just depends on the injuries that you have. And then we do have, okay, we also pay in terms of the level of support that you need. For some people, for instance, you've got professional nurses, trained nurses looking after them, and the pay is based on the level of care that they need. We can send a breakdown of how many caregivers we have, how much we pay them. We've got that spreadsheet, and we had recently presented it to one of the committees of the board, if that's the requirement.
And a list of those hospitals and municipalities
where we have a footprint.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And then RAPS, I'm not going to comment on that. Claims per province, how many claims do we get per province? We can send that breakdown as well. We've got that. Attachment of banks, of the bank account, is there any way of managing that? some of these, you know, in some cases we even have agreements with the attorneys to say, we owe you so much, but on a monthly basis we can pay you this amount. We can't afford to pay you the whole amount. There are delinquent lawyers who will agree to us and then still go to the bank. We also have a relationship with the Law Society, and we do talk to them about this. But it's a difficult one. It's just attorneys that just decide to be difficult, to be honest. I'm trying to think if there's any other way. But then, there is no way the bank can not pay once the court order is there. There's no way. Yeah, there's no way. So it's a difficult one. It's a difficult one. I think I'll hand over to the acting CFO and acting chief strategy officer, and then the chair of the board.
Thank you, CEO. I think the question was on the grants, that we did not say a thing about the grants, and but we did speak about the investment revenue. Investment revenue is the interest received on the call account. Why we did not touch on the grants is that we hardly received grants. Last time we had grants was in 2007. It was ad hoc when the deficit was showing its head, and we had via Department of Transport from National Treasury a cash injection. But since then, now we've had an ad hoc increase or bailout, nothing. So we depend on the fuel levy, because as I said, it was only 2007 that we had and every year we do make a motivation to National Treasury via Department of Transport in terms of showing our financials, and that a cash injection would assist, but we never have it. That was that. But yes. Sorry, we shall take it out. I want to clarify something on the presentation. It's a good point there, honorable member. What I heard, actually want to go back to the slide so that we can reconcile them and exonerate myself. There's one extra slide that I showed. It was showing the breakdown, and I said it's not for the presentation, it's just to break down, to show the breakdown of the claims liability. But I would like us to reconcile and say exactly with your book so that I can say where I've gone wrong. Please, I'm not going to be long. Let's check the income statement, honorable member. Please. Then I can see if I've missed it. Please don't check us. The income statement. I showed that one on the presentation. That 43 billion, and I said we spent 99 billion, and the balance was 55,780. I want to see if does it agree with the book, just high level income statement. On it, remember. The mistake I did was to add one more slide, and I will take that one out. I just want to be sure so that have you got that one. It will be financial status on page 8. Page 49. Oh, I see. It's an older version.
Oh.
It's an older version. I see.
Okay. No, I think it's fine then. You send us the correct one.
No.
Updated with the updated.
Yes, it's an older version.
This is the latest. The one that we distributed this morning
is
the latest version.
Okay.
No, but this one is the presentation. The presentation. Sorry, sir.
No, I hear you.
Normally, you'll have a book which is a APP,
yes,
or annual report.
Mm.
But then for the purposes of a presentation, you then present a summary of a APP in the form of a book.
Yes.
So I take it that this one that you presented is a PowerPoint presentation,
yes,
extracted from APP book. Thank you.
Yeah, I see. These were revised with the new minister. Let me get my story right, sir. I hear you.
Mm.
I hear you. I'll get my story right in there. Thank you.
And I call check at his book back.
I see.
go to the strategist or the questions that you also need?
I'm going through. I think the CEO covered most of the questions, even those that were financial, because there was a mention of the deficit. We are not seeing the deficit under the circumstances reducing. It will increase. You know, it is going to increase because the RAF as it stands is not sustainable. So I'm not seeing a situation where it will change. I think there was a question on the vacancies, maybe in terms of the CEO and the CFO, as to for how long actually.
Okay, in terms of the CFO and the CPO position, we started actually with the interviews on the CFO position, and this we have created a chief procurement officer because our budget in terms of the tenders that we have as an entity are huge. So we have now created a CPO, Chief Procurement Officer, and the interviews for that position are early in September. Yeah. And then the chairperson of the board will be able to talk to the CEO position. Thank you.
Chief Strategist, you can acting CFO switch off the guidance.
Thank you, Chair. With regard to the Honourable Member's question as to why the APP is written final draft, in terms of the National Treasury planning cycle on the old process, we have three incidences where we submit the APP. Would submit the first draft in August, would submit the second draft in November, and the final in January. That's why it's deemed the final. But this year, we did submit the final one in January as per the framework, but we also had to submit one in July because post the election. So the final is derived from the old framework. But this year, the upcoming one, we're only going to present one in October. And then in terms of the people that are arrested or convicted, I think the acting CEO highlighted that we do have a FID team of about 90 people. So we conduct the investigations internally and externally. There's a team that deals with the internal team or employees, and there's a team that conducts investigation externally. Once we've concluded the report, if there's a criminal element, we do forward that case to the police and other partners in the cluster. So we then have to rely on them. We can just check on the respective ones on the 10 of what if they were convicted or not. And in terms of the honourable member that is concerned about the footprint in the in various provinces. 5 years ago, we did not have the customer service centers in Mabatu, in Bloemfontein, and also in Polokwane and Nelspruit. We did not have those. And in the past 5 years, then those customer service centers were established. And then the demand was even greater. We then started partnering with the community service centers in some municipalities. It's a new program. We have we currently have 5 of them in Vembe, Mamelodi, Beaufort West, and Newcastle. But above that, the REF mobile vans are helping us to infiltrate areas that are far from the regional offices, the customer service centers, and also the community service centers.
Thank you. DM, the whips of the provinces seems to be in a hurry to leave. Let me just give you an opportunity. My apology, Chairperson. My apology, my humble and sincere apology to you. Let me go back to the DM.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think you will have to put your eyes on the radar because there's a number of challenges that RAF has already indicated financially. These are the things that you will have to be clued on, but looking forward to in the eventuality we amicably solve the impasse that we had with the road accident benefit scheme bill, I can still come and be of information to the select committee in that regard, because I think it's going to be resolved according to what the lawyers have in the state law advisors have indicated. But the good work that road accident benefit road accident fund is doing, particularly on the road RAF on the road, as you go to provinces, maybe they should be able to give you the information of where are they going when, so that you are able to go and see what exactly is happening as they go into different locations of different provinces, and then you can be able to attest to what has been happening. Thanks. It has also been enjoyable to be the first time in this portfolio committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Not portfolio, but select.
Select, TM. We are select, we are not any. Let me also take this opportunity to express my gratitude to the TM and the team, the chairperson and your team. Have a wonderful day. We just want to wrap up our last item on the agenda after we have left. Thank you.